Support for WPR comes from The Alliance, a not-for-profit cooperative committed to helping employers self-fund by providing data and insights to manage their health plans. Info is at the-alliance.org.
Support for WPR comes from Milwaukee Film, presenting the 16th Annual Milwaukee Film Festival, featuring local, national, and international films, April 11th through the 25th. Tickets are at mkefilm.org.
It's Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Gene Purcell, filling in today for Rob Ferret. You're with us on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Coming up on Central Time, we'll talk about a possible blackout of this weekend's Green Bay Packer playoff game.
But first, we're talking about tax breaks. On Tuesday, Congress let 55 tax breaks expire, just as they do every year. Some experts say this creates a climate of uncertainty for businesses and organizations who are the beneficiaries of these tax breaks.
Here to talk about how these tax breaks work and why they are renewed from year to year is Robertson Williams. He is the Saul Price Fellow at the Nonpartisan Tax Policy Center. And Bob, welcome to Central Time.
Good afternoon, Gene. Glad to be with you.
Well, it is good to have you here and help explain some of these things. Now, let's start with the basics and these tax breaks in the first place. As I understand it, these are tax breaks that sort of started at a period of time, not necessarily related to each other, but all wind up expiring at the same time. How did they all wind up here?
Well, Congress over the years has added bits and pieces to our tax code for one reason or another. They want to encourage energy conservation. They want to encourage businesses to invest. They want to allow taxpayers to deduct more things on their income tax. But they're put in piecemeal over time and given short-term lives so they don't cost as much for the budgetary purposes. Congress is trying to balance the budget to keep the debt from rising. And if they pass these pieces of legislation for a year at a time, it doesn't look as big on the budget calculations. In fact, if you do renew them over time, they do cost a lot. But the way they count budgets here in Washington, it's a lot better to pass them one year at a time than to pass them and make them permanent.
And politically, I would think it might be an easier sell, too. Say, well, look, it's just going to expire in 2 years, and then you'll have another opportunity to decide whether it's still worth having.
I think that's part of the equation, yes.
So who all is affected by this? I was reading a couple of articles on this, and it really runs the waterfront here. RUM rebates to Puerto Rico and the Virgin Islands, renewable energy credits, as you mentioned, film producers, teachers who buy classroom supplies. I mean, it really is all over the map.
It is. A number of them are for individuals that we'll see on our income tax returns, but not until we file them in the spring of 2015, the 2014 taxes. A lot of them affect businesses, some very small. If you raise racehorses, for example, or you own a NASCAR racetrack, you get special benefits. As you say, energy conservation. And it's just across the board. Congress has added some of these when the economy was in deep recession to help stimulate the economy and get things going again. Part of it was to help boost the housing market. One of the provisions that's expired is allowing people who sell their homes below the amount they owe the banks to not pay tax on the money the bank didn't charge them. It's the discharge loan, as they call it. Technically, that's income as far as the IRS is concerned, but to help families in distress in this time with all the bad housing market, Congress said, okay, you don't have to pay tax on that. Makes a lot of sense for these people who don't have any money to pay the taxes anyway. But again, that's a temporary thing designed to be temporary because it's aimed at what we hope is a short-term problem in the housing market.
Now, this is not the first time that we've done a story like this about the expiration of these particular tax credits. How has Congress traditionally dealt with this in the past? The tax credits expire, and then what?
Well, Congress tends to wait to the last minute to do these things. We actually were fortunate at the beginning of 2013 because Congress did double duty extending the provisions for 2012 and at the same time saying we'll do it for 2013 as well. And that's those tax provisions that are now expired and we have to worry about 2014. Congress deals with it on a year-to-year basis, both because of the revenue implications, the fact that it looks cheaper to do it on a year-by-year basis, as I said before, and also that the folks who benefit from these provisions lobby hard in the years that's happening, contribute to campaign funds And it's kind of nice if you're in Congress to have folks coming and saying, asking for favors, and you can ask for favors back, I guess. But that's a political question that, I, as an economist, I really shouldn't be answering.
Now, there are some businesses who say that having the tax expiration, you know, having these things expire at the end of the year and every year, and then have Congress consider or reconsider or maybe not consider these tax credits creates a climate of uncertainty for business. Is that a real effect, do you think, or is that just more political talk?
I think there is uncertainty for firms, particularly on the ones that look shaky on the face of them. Does it really make sense to give a special depreciation if you're raising racehorses? And if you don't know that that's going to be renewed, then you may not invest the same way you would otherwise. On the other hand, the fact that Congress has renewed them year after year after year makes them look a little less uncertain, a little less temporary than they otherwise would be. And I expect a lot of firms act as if these will be renewed. Of course, they could be in for a shock at some point.
You know, one of the things that this brings up and is the whole idea of tax reform. And we've heard in the past year or so that, you know, well, not just the past year or so, we've heard for some time now that we need some sort of major tax reform. And then when we do stories like this, where there are these bits and pieces of things being affected and not renewed and then will be considered at some point, people always say, what this really points to is a need for some sort of larger reform. Is that your thinking on this, or do you have a different viewpoint?
Well, this is only part of the need for reform. These are the pieces that expire and need to be renewed, but there's a lot of the permanent tax code that one could argue about. Do we really need the alternative minimum tax? Are all the differential rates we have the right kinds of things to have? There are a lot of permanent deductions and credits and exemptions in the tax code that we might want to fix, as well as these temporary ones. One of the things that's going on this year is debating whether we should address the expired tax provisions by themselves or whether we should make them part of a larger tax reform. And the problem with doing the latter, putting them as part of a larger tax reform, is it relies on getting that tax reform done. That's a much heavier lift than passing just the expiring provisions. But it's an issue. You do need a way to pass these expiring provisions. They very rarely are passed on their own. The question is what legislative vehicle do you use in Congress to get these enacted?
Given what's been happening in Congress for the last couple of years in terms of its ability to get things done, is it likely that we're going to see some sort of larger reform? Or, you know, given what just happened, you know, the sort of the baby steps in the budget deal, is now maybe the time to start taking a look at some of these things?
I think the problem with getting tax reform done right now is it is not the kind of thing you do short term, and it does require a very heavy investment from at both ends of Pennsylvania Avenue. At this point, the Congress has bought in fairly heavily into the idea of tax reform as a concept. Both Dave Camp, who's the chair of the Ways and Means Committee, and Max Baucus, who's the chair of the Senate Finance Committee, have worked hard this last year to put together plans for tax reform, and we're likely to see very specific plans coming from both of those committees this year. At the other end of Pennsylvania Avenue, the president has not put a great effort into the tax reform, and until he does invest in that and put the administration's into the equation, it's hard to imagine it ever happening. He has been rather distracted by other issues, as you might know.
And as we get closer to 2016, does it become less likely that we'll see something big happen?
Every time there's an election, there's an issue of what's going to happen. Even this year is that way, with the off-year election coming up in November, with all of Congress and a third of the Senate up for re-election. And that makes it harder. A number of people have said that either we take care of these expiring provisions early in the year or they wait till after the election. The closer you get to the election, the harder it's going to be to pass these things because they then become ammunition for opponents during the election campaign. The same thing then happens in 2016. Your president, to the extent he's going to be involved in any decisions, we'll have a lame duck president getting closer and closer to the end of his term, and the whole question of tax reform will be part of the argument, so the debate during the 2016 election.
So given all of that, how do you predict Congress will deal with these cuts this time around? Are they going to be able to do something in the next couple of months?
I think it's really hard to predict what Congress will do at this point. My guess is they'll either try to attach this to something dealing with the debt ceiling, something dealing with extending unemployment benefits for long-time unemployed, things that have to get done early in the year, or they will push them off to the end of the year. I'm hopeful that they'll do it early in the year so that they don't have the hanging like the storm of Damocles over the various taxpayers, but it's really a tough call which way it's going to go this year.
But if they let them go, they could actually make a little money for the Treasury, right?
There's quite a bit of money. It's not going to solve our budgetary problems, but there's quite a bit of money here. On the other hand, doing away with all these things, letting them stay expired, will affect both businesses and a lot of individuals adversely in ways that will not help the economy as we're still trying to recover from the recession.
All right, lots to think about. Bob, thanks so much for being with us today.
It's my pleasure.
That was Robertson Williams, a Sol Price Fellow at the Nonpartisan Tax Policy Center.